where the many of the legislatures, certainly the attorneys and the judges themselves, all come from one union, which is the Bar Association. There's nothing wrong with unions. However, there isn't the motivation to change this. So what you're seeing today is a bunch of people in different ways, some writing letters to the editors, some people writing books, not too many, and doing things to change the system. My goal is to educate the system. And I would urge all of you to write for materials from me that you can look at your leisure without buying them and decide whether this is going to make you more aware of what's happening with this system. This is corrosive, it's damaging our families, it's very expensive, and it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So if we can change this fundamentally, take it away from an adversarial and advocacy system, look towards holistic methods and the maintenance of the family, we can have a good system. One thing more. If people doubt that this system is broken, I only have to point to the passage in 1973 of the Indian Child Welfare Act. ICWA was passed because it was recognized by the Congress of the United States that the system relating to Native peoples all across this country was removing systematically, through their DFYSs in their own states, children and putting them in non-Indian homes. The situation was so bad the court system could not regulate itself. The Congress passed a federal law granting them the right to establish tribal courts around the United States, which they have done. As a footnote, the state of Alaska court system routinely violates this federal law, but that's irrespective of the fact that it has been recognized that our system is broken, it is tearing apart families, and is fundamentally flawed. For a better understanding of the system side of it, it's going to take more than a few minutes here. All I've done is try to highlight it, and for those people, I'm not sure who's listening around the state, it is much worse than you think of it. I guess to end, I'll quote Jack Coghill, who said that the system is broken, and the problem is once you get in, you can't get out of it. We can change this. We can do it. We can save the state a lot of money. And this particular bill here will stop a lot of this coercive, illegal, unconstitutional gathering of documentation that is not founded on any evidence whatsoever. And many of you perhaps have read the Kelly Michaels case and a variety of cases around the state that have now gone through the appellate process, where it's becoming very well widely known that this agency system, this regulatory law, these brown shirts, who albeit try to do the right thing, are violating the very foundation of this family, this country, and that is the family. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone else that has gotten on teleconference? Because I have gone through my list of people here in Fairbanks. Oh, Julie, you hadn't signed up to testify, but would you like to?
I just had a comment.
You just want to make a comment? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
You want me to go get hair, Jim?
No,
I can speak for myself.
No, I need to speak.
Give us your name.
My name is Julie Hicks, H-I-C-K-S. My address is P.O. Box 55455, North Pole. Okay, and I'm with Guardians of Family Rights. And the comment that was going through my mind was that AS 4717, 005, I believe, says it's the purpose statement for the reporting laws, puts as one of its purposes that the limiting of the number of interviews that children are, exposed to. And I believe that by having the interviews videotaped, then a videotape can be passed along far more readily. Of course, you need a list of standard questions that aren't leading, misleading and such, that maybe that will be a way to help attain that goal. I think it was a worthy goal. All right. Thank you.
Is there anyone else now that hasn't testified? Yes?
Yes, there is.
Okay, who is it?
My name is Charles McKee.
Yes?
Where?
And where are you from, Charles?
Again, my name is Charles McKee, and I'm in Anchorage. I've been here for 30 years. I also wrote a brief that I haven't published yet, but I passed it all over the place. I guess some people think it is...
Charles, we need your address. your physical address.
Oh, I don't have a physical address. We'll have to deal with the PO box.
That's just fine.
On this sheet here, the sign-up sheet, and without saying it, I'd like to have it back down to you because it's taken up my time, the 3 minutes.
Oh, we'll let you go. Okay.
Okay, so Tuesday, I even turned my report into the United States Marshal, who used to be the Lieutenant Colonel of Alaska State Troopers. Now, they're well comprised of the situation, and I don't know if this House Bill 348 is going to deal with the problem that does exist, quite frankly. And the reason being is you're ignoring the substantial influence that is very debilitating on the foundation of this country, which is Christianity, believing in Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the true foundation of this country, thereby establishing a true relationship with family. And I was talking, I was being interviewed by Bill Clinton Tuesday evening over at the Anchorage assembly meeting out in the lobby, and I told him I'm sick and tired of these sex police running around there trying to prohibit my association with another aspect of our society. And I don't believe in a lie. And the lie being that you have to believe in the lie in order to have companionship with the opposite sex. And you people have already been notified in a physical matter, and I'm speaking from the wolf of his faith I am. I am speaking from total faith, and it's not by fact. I'm speaking from the faith that you people have been put on notice that you are setting the very foundation, and by ignoring the truth. And I don't understand what you people are all trying to do to yourselves, but it's very debilitating, and I hope you stop, because it'd be very detrimental to your longevity.
Thank you very much. And incidentally, I wanted to put on the record that we do have written testimony from I can't pronounce his last name, from Delta Junction, who was on earlier, and Jeannie Phipps, and their written testimony will be made a part of the record. Is there anyone else now? Jody, if you wish to come forward, you can do that. And
my name is Jody Delaney, and I'd like to talk again because I think there's a lot of misconceptions. First of all, through a global conference that just happened, or international conference, it showed that professionals are out to save their professions, and we are out to save our families. We're not really, I think that there's a fear within the agencies of exposure, and I think that we need to have a check and balance. If you have another one, I'd be really happy to hear what it is. The Ombudsman's report, that's been referred to in Bethel, it was proven that they destroyed the first interviews, all the little pieces of paper it was taken on, and those were torn up and destroyed. So how can you tell me that those would be, there could be anything gained by that? I find that detrimental to any interview. Mandatory video recording, as far as the audio, that's in the existing manual and you don't use it. In the middle of an interview it says, now turn on the recorder. How much accountability is there in that? I really I don't take it personally, but it angers me that you feel that all of these parents that are speaking out, whose families have been destroyed, and these people are speaking out for thousands of Alaska families, that you think that they have not done an in-depth independent study and research. And believe me, they started in Washington, D.C., and have come down to your level from there. And we know where your funding comes from. We know what you live with. We know that social workers don't go into it to go get Johnny's family and destroy it. It's the system is failing. It's the system is out of balance. We need one starting point. law enforcement officers in this state are beginning to have video cameras on their uniforms for a check and balance. Why would you disagree with us having that for interviews for children? I would like for someone to tell me what the outcome of the Senate Family Review Task Force would have been had there been video cameras there. Would those be non-existent file cabinets with families that are still living in the horrors of the nightmares that passed through their families? And any of you that do not know what I'm referencing, I suggest that you get a copy from your legislative information office. I am notified by professionals, social workers, counselors, statewide. The morale is broken. It's bad. The system is destroyed. This isn't what they went to work for, and they can no longer repair the bond that the state is creating as far as putting abuse into the families by not knowing how to handle the abuse as fast as it's coming in the door because they're not abused. And the people that are coming through the system, and they're making a case out of things that are not a case, the people can no longer repair the bond, and they call and give us kudos and give us information. And I have a lot of information on the prosecution side of the advantages of video recording, and that I would make reference to the American Prosecutor Research Institute, the National Center for the Prosecution of Child Abuse. We work with very strong professionals, so I would like to any of the law enforcement and social service agencies out there, not to underestimate the power of the people you're speaking to, because we aren't stopping, we're not changing, except for we're demanding that we get our families back, and you right the wrongs, and you correct the records, and you make a way to make change. And when it hits your family, maybe you'll understand, because a lot of your professionals have called me, where your professionals are turning each other in. There's got to be changes in this. I support mandatory video recording. I don't support audio recording. I find that the only place that has a place is if there was an emergency situation in a rural area, and I still don't see why that would need to be, because all of our villages are set up with video recording for their homicide departments, and I think that that's a cop-out for check and balance and accountability to the way you're handling investigations. We even have a video recorder to see who throws rocks at signs between Fairbanks and Valdez. I have a problem with the way you're spending your money. And as far as the Senate, the Citizens Review Panel on Permanency Planning, I think that by the force of the people that this was saved from falling, and it needs to be put in place across the state, and that would be a good check and balance beginning for our foster care system, being that too has no check and balance, and it is a part of this. And the Division of Family and Youth Services is where all this begins, and that's why we begin with the Division of Family and Youth Services. But there are many women's shelters, safe homes. They're all a part of this great big picture, and the parents that you're working with are highly educated, and I would have to say that by the independent research and studies they've done, many of them surpass the education that many of these people that are calling them professionals are out to save face. Thank you.
We have 5 minutes left. Is there anyone out there on teleconference that we need to hear from?
Can we hear from you, Jeanette James, what your stance is on this bill? I am.
We already did.
I'll watch the video. Thank you. Thank God for video recorders.
But Jeanette,
amen.
Can you tell us where the bill is? I see all the committees it's been referred to.
Okay, this is Cynthia Henry, who is a member of our school board here. And thank you very much for Cynthia for coming today. I know that Cynthia is the person who really likes to listen to the people. I've talked with Cynthia a lot, and I give her a lot of credit for that. She wants to know where this bill is. This bill is in state affairs. It does have a lot of referrals. It did not have to have a state affairs referral. I personally asked for it to have a state affairs referral so that I could have a hearing for it, and I would be in charge of it through the interim period. And so I would expect that most of the scrutiny will be given to this bill when it's in the Department of Health and Social Services Committee, and then it has Judiciary Committee after that, I believe. I think it has a fourth one, maybe finance committee. So it has a lot of committees to go through. And the reason and purpose that I said that I'd asked for a state affairs committee referral was so that I could be in charge of this bill during the interim and be able to have this hearing that I'm having here today. And so, you know, that's the process. From here it goes to Health and Social Services. From there it will go to Judiciary, which incidentally Brian Porter, representative from Anchorage, who is a member of this committee, is also the chair of the Judiciary Committee. So he's going to hear about all of it. He wants to hear about this bill before he gets to it. And then the Finance Committee will be there to look at any finance referral that there's there. And then it has to go to the Senate. And I assume that it's in the Senate, it will have a Health and Social Services, a Judiciary and Finance Committee referral there. So this is a big assignment for this bill to go through the process during one legislative session. So what it's going to take is an awful lot of public input if this bill is to move through the system. And, you know, I can't do that. It's public notification. I can notify the public. If the public doesn't rise up to support this bill won't go anywhere.
The press releases aren't released by the press to the public. We don't know about them either, I may add, that we're having real trouble hearing about these things over the
people need to do is provide your name and address and ask that you want to be noticed in my office, and whenever this bill is going to be heard, we'll notify you.
Thank you.
Especially.
Thank you.
Yes. Go ahead in the back.
My name is Raina Ham. I'm just asking a point of clarification that the first testifier brought out. Were you intending that the bill would cover, as he mentioned, school teachers, nurses, school nurses, and such? That's not clear to me.
The bill, as it is currently written, does include anyone who would be interviewing a child regarding alleged abuse cases, where whoever that was in whatever capacity that they were. The focus on the bill is that those interviews or those questions of those children are taped so that at the very beginning to see whether or not any kind of suggestion can be given to the children, because it certainly is. And one of the other problems that we have with children that are very young, that if they are questioned on these issues, they may be things that the child isn't even aware of. Then they're suddenly made aware of something. And when you ask them again at 14 or 15, they may remember that experience as something that really happened, as opposed to something that didn't happen, but they visualized it happened because of the way the questions were asked. There is a tremendous amount of information on this subject nationwide. In fact, Dr. Kleinfeld, a few weeks ago, had an excellent article in the Daily News Miner regarding some specifics of cases, nationwide cases that have been where suspected abuse has happened, and total devastation down the road, and there was no sexual abuse in the first place. So if that answers your question, it is now 3:00. I want to thank you all for coming. If anyone has any written testimony, any additional information they haven't provided, anyone out on the teleconference have any interest in doing this, I appreciate the suggestions by Representative Robinson from Juneau of additional information to see what has been done before, so we're not reinventing the wheel. This is a very, I believe, very serious issue that we're addressing. I agree that we must do something to include to keep families together instead of tearing them apart. This is only a very small part of the problems that we're facing. It is bigger than all of us. And the other comment that I want to make before I go away is that first of all, yes, the bureaucracy is out of hand. But let me also say that it is driven by a public process. There is a public out there that perceives these issues as serious issues, and they are what causes the bureaucracy to go. So there isn't any single one of us in this room or outside of this room that can't accept some blame for where we are today. And we all have to be able to be realistic about it, accept the blame, be constructive in our ways of correcting the situation, and then let's go forward. It isn't going to be solved today, tomorrow, or even this year. But if we can turn it around and start it going in the different direction, it may take a whole generation or 20 years before we really see any immense difference. And that's one of the things that discourages people from getting involved in the process. It takes a long time to change public opinion and to change the bureaucracy. You know, and I'm not trying to be depressional about this or trying to be, you know, pessimistic about it. But I think we have to face reality that to turn around a system in a country as large as ours, with as many people as they are ours, a system that is basically driven by a certain public understanding, is going to be very difficult a turnaround, and it takes people like you who are dedicated and who are involved and educated in this area to make it happen, and I encourage you to do that. Yes.
Within 20 years, our children, the children we're speaking about and dealing with right now, are going to be the politicians. Personally, that scares the hell out of me. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I tell you what we have to do when we're thinking about public policy and we're thinking about the bureaucratic system and the people and how they're affected. We have to look at it with a moving picture camera, not with a still camera. We have to be sure that what we're looking at today is not going to be what we're going to see tomorrow, and we want to be sure that what we see tomorrow is better than today, not worse. So, Scott, you have one more thing, and then we got to get
Yeah, Jeanette, I would agree with you that public policy issues do take time, but I would offer the opinion that it already has been 20 years, and that we're now at the end of the need for a cycle of change, not at the beginning of a time for the beginning of the cycle.
Okay. And thank you all for coming. It is 3 o'clock, and so it's time to close this hearing. Thank you, everybody,
thank you for having us on the
teleconference, and this meeting is adjourned.